check it out. That song is stuck in my head.
All right, we'll start with that. Hey, everybody, welcome to...
Check, mic check.
Hi, everybody, welcome to episode 74 of the Run, Self, Repeat podcast, where we talk about life with a side of running, although today is going to be a lot of running because guess who's here?
John is here.
It's Coach John Hoenerkamp. He's back, and today... a lot of what John has helped me discuss here on the podcast has been goals and times and all these sorts of things. And I would love to get to the heart of it because something that John is like, we talk about this all the time whenever we run together is Hoenerkamp, you've coached thousands of people to run the New York City Marathon or other stuff. And you have some pretty incredible stories about why people run, what they're running from, and what was the catalyst that got them to want to run their first half marathon, run their first marathon, or shit that goes down in the middle of a training cycle that they somehow endure through. So today, I really would love to talk about why. The why. Why do we do this?
Yeah, I would say life happens when you're training for a marathon.
Yeah, it does.
And so initially, whatever the catalyst is, I mean, like the several stories that kind of showcase the gamut of that. There's like, oh man, because of a charity or, you know, a death in the family or midlife crisis or lost a bet. And then you get in and then you train a little bit. In the beginning, it's kind of typically relatively easy unless you're totally a beginner. But it's, you know, 3 miles here, 5 miles here. And then you think of the race weekend, which is like exciting and ideally the work is done. But this is like crunch time now where we're 10 weeks out from New York and obviously people are running other halves and other fulls. And it's... There's no way of getting around the fact that you should be tired. It's hard.
Yeah.
Marathons are hard. Training is hard. Doing 18, 20, 22 milers in hot weather is hard.
Yeah.
So this is where marathon training gets grosser.
Yeah.
You figure out your fueling strategies. You might be panicking because you don't think you did enough because your neighbor or coworker or spouse or has done 16, 20 miles
in 7 minute miles. And you've done for the first time.
You're 11 miler. So, but it is true. Like Labor Day weekend, summer's ending, shit's getting real. Like you have to focus and get your stuff done. And but that, to your point, sometimes things kind of throw you off track when these life events and, some of those are motivators of why you started training, but you can't. You need to, you know, make sure you're focusing on what you're doing and why you're doing it, because you'll need to draw upon that motivation of how it all started.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've ever talked. I'm sure I've talked about this, but like honestly, one of the reasons like I wanted to run a marathon was because I was like going through a weird breakup, and I was like, imagine his face when he hears that he ran a marathon, and walking into that friggin' Super Bowl party after I did it, and everyone was like, oh my god. You went from zero to marathon in like 7 months.
Yeah,
I was like, what have you done?
Right. Skydiving and, you know, climbing, Kilimanjaro.
Drinking.
You know,
here I am, running marathons. Sometimes it are those things that kill you and hurt you that make you want to do something so huge and rewarding like running a half or running a full. Because I feel like so many people, most people do not want to try to run a half marathon or a marathon for the first, second, third time because they love running. They're running from something or they're running towards something. Sometimes they think it's the same thing.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing. But yeah, oftentimes I've said this before, is running a marathon or a half marathon is a lot cheaper than buying a Ferrari.
Yeah.
If you're going through a midlife crisis or life change.
Do you have any like favorite stories of people who... Like, I feel like it's superhuman when something crazy goes down in your life in the middle of, like, a half marathon or marathon training cycle, and these people somehow still make it happen. Do you have any, like, favorite stories that, like, just make your heart want to burst?
Well, one story was the guy was in Afghanistan in the military, training for New York.
What?
And he kept apologizing to me because he was missing workouts. And, hey, coach, missed my workout again, had to move the base.
Oh, my God.
And I was like... I'm sure like it's not like he's laying on the couch like not, you know, watching Netflix. He's out there, you know, I'm sure whatever you did moving a base is probably pretty like physical, and you probably got some type of workout in. But I was more like, thank you for your service. Like, don't worry about it. So he was just so apologetic for missing key workouts when he's obviously serving our country and in harm's way. And he was so polite about, like, and careful about how he would, you know, reach out to me via email. So that, I was just, for a perspective check, I was like, wow.
My eyeballs are so big right now. Like,
you know, and then...
oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's like a kind of a fun, well, a story that I used to tell as far as like, yeah, I might have had a bad day, but this guy is, you know, trying to get his workout in because he's...
Wow.
Outside of one of the earlier marathon cycles, I think it was 2011 maybe.
Time to move.
Here we go. I just ran this damn watch. It's like I ran 18 miles the other day and like an hour later...
I turned that off.
I'm like...
I can't.
You just tracked
me. I would throw my watch into the East River. Sorry.
But there was a woman who was in... she was in a third world country. I'm trying to think which one. And she was on a, like doing a mission area work.
Wow.
And she couldn't... She could only leave her base. It wasn't a military base. Maybe it was, but the work she was doing was volunteer work, but very mission-driven, and she was helping out. I think it was in Haiti. And she couldn't leave the compound or the base without any, like, the guards protecting her. And that wasn't able to happen every day. So once a week, she was able to leave the area with guarded support. And I'm like, I would do a long run on that day.
Yeah.
The rest was, she was like in a kind of a makeshift gym somewhere in some kind of shack doing like whatever workout she was doing as far as like, you know, I'm not sure if it was an exercise bike. But I was like,
damn, girl.
Like the one day a week she could get off where she was staying. I thought that was like another kind of eye-opening experience. But one of my favorites is a woman, Nadelle, who I still coach. She's running New York again this year. I was training her, and you know, everything was fine, and she emailed me one day and she said, oh, I had a bad week, I missed some of my runs, you know, again apologizing for missing these runs, and you know, I'll need a few days off. So I wrote back saying, oh, sorry for your bad day, you know, let me know how I can help. Running can be a great place to be when you're even to be selfish for a little bit, take 30 minutes, go for a walk, go for a run, clear your head. It can be very therapeutic. You know, not knowing what her bad day meant. And then she wrote back and she's like, yeah, my 30-year-old son passed away.
Aww.
And I don't even, still to this day, I don't know how, but it didn't really matter. It was more just, I wrote back saying, again, don't be afraid to be selfish for 20 minutes a day. I know you have a lot going on with funeral arrangements and all these things, but don't worry about running, but it's there for you if you need it. And if you, you know, take 20 minutes or half hour each day to kind of like clear your head, go for a run, you know, if you want. And then like 2 weeks later, I heard back from her and she says, I'm going to dedicate this marathon to my son.
Aww.
And it was a very touching, you know, relationship. And I saw her at some of the, she's actually lives in Westchester. So she came down for some of the New York Roadrunner long training runs and 18 mile tune up and some other races. And so I got to meet her in person several times.
That's cool.
And we had a nice bond, and her honoring her son was very special for even for me, who had never met her son. And even now she's still, actually, the other day, I think she posted on Facebook about, like, you know, the anniversary of his death, and how she, you know, remember him as a son and a great uncle and a great cousin and a great friend. But those are touching stories where, like, when you have a bad week, you know, I'm like, is that someone stubbing their toe or someone having a death in the family?
Yeah.
Both. So it's all about perspective. And not saying that whoever didn't lose someone that, you know, in that training cycle is better off. It's just life happens. And
that's,
you know, we've all had our struggles and ups and downs. And I think that's the beauty of running. For me anyway, it's been a way to, a nice outlet, whether you're training for a marathon or just getting out the door and kind of sweating a little bit and having some time to yourself. But you stumble upon all these stories when you're working. You probably, people reaching out to you all the time with their stories.
So, yeah.
Based on your brother and your...
I mean, I think I had it rough. And then I read some of these emails and... But this is my favorite. I mean, it's exactly the story you told. Like, it's never woe is me, things are bad. I mean, I get those emails too, and I think that's totally valid. And sometimes you have to be like, this shit is hitting the fan, and like, why me? But people always pull themselves back up, and I think that's part of the reason of running. Like, there's always something to move towards and work through, and sometimes it takes months, years for fog to dissipate or to get out of whatever shitty situation has found its way to you. But running is one of those things that, like, even in the shittiest of moments, it gets you through, to be cheesy. But here's something I would like to ask. I think this is a point in a lot of people's training cycles where maybe they started running in memory of someone, like they're trying to move towards some, like, run a marathon because this thing happened, or they're trying to do this thing and, you know, it's been hard, but they've had that thing to hold on to and get through. But it's just that point where, like, it is really hard, and getting out is really hard. And they just feel like they're letting people down. Maybe they feel like they're letting themselves down, whatever. Like, what do you do? I mean, I felt like this last year in Chicago when I was training for Chicago. It was this time last year, I know, because Facebook, like, reminded me last week when I had, like, a full-blown gotta-go-home meltdown. And it was, like, the first moment that it felt doable, but then I realized how hard it was going to be and how you could, there wasn't going to be a, I can do this and this is not going to be impossible. Like, I didn't realize they weren't mutually exclusive. Right. And that scared the shit out of me. And so, like, I fully melted down. But, like, I couldn't, that mental block that I found myself in, like, I couldn't get out and nail my stuff because I was so freaked out. How do you get through that when, like, what has been working is no longer enough?
Part of it's just, you know, it's the newness or the new shoes, or the I'm starting out and I'm all fresh wears away because you've done all this work.
Yeah.
You do panic sometimes because your neighbor or your coworker has done, you know, again, 3 20-milers and you haven't done one yet and you panic. So just focus on what you can do. And if you've missed some runs, don't worry about it. You have 10 weeks to go in New York's case. I also think, I don't want everyone's run, all their runs to be bad.
Yeah.
If all your runs are great, and then you get to the race, and then mile 18, you're having problems, and you've never faced that adversity in training, you're not used to it, you're not prepared for it. So when people have bad long runs, I actually think it's a good thing.
I think so too.
I don't want them to have,
all of them.
All of them, because then it's like you're overtrained, or you're injured, or you just need to
slow down.
But oftentimes, it's like if you had a couple bad runs, and I always say, the more bad runs, like, say you have 10 long runs, so you have 5 are bad versus 2. Like, the more bad ones you've had, I feel like there's a better chance that the race would be better. If all your races are great, or your runs are great,
yeah,
it's like, uh-oh, like, when's it going to go wrong? But if you had some, like, bumps along the way, and how you deal with those bumps is super valuable in the race.
Yeah.
When mile 23 comes around on Fifth Avenue, I think it's the worst part of the course before you get into Central Park.
Yeah, Fifth Avenue is literally the worst part.
You think about the terrible run you did in September or October where it's hot or you felt terrible, but you still persevered. And maybe your times weren't great that day, but you stopped and you had to get extra fuel or take the cab home or something. But I think it's good to have bad runs.
Yeah.
You just don't want to have too many of them. But this is also, I often, you know, it sounds cheesy, but, you know, we've talked about this earlier podcast about enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
That's cheesy, and most of the time it works, but sometimes you're like, screw the journey. Like, I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of getting my daily emails, or people will count down. I got 3 more long runs, and they stop enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
And it's a task. And sometimes that's, you know, running a different route, finding a different workout group, finding someone who's slower just to kind of, like, not worry about pace, or from friends that you haven't talked to in a while just to catch up. So you're not just running, you're kind of doing 2 or 3 things at once.
Yeah.
Having a work meeting or catching up with an old friend. But it's go to a different park. You know, I know Central Park gets a little tiring after about 90 minutes. I find that.
I can't go back.
So this year, this you know, I haven't done this since 2010, but I'm looking to get a couple people up to go up to Rockefeller State Park.
Oh, that's
which
fun.
Which is like, you know, you have to spend, you know, 6 hours as far as, like, leaving, get up there, probably about 40 minutes, you know, park, stretch, go for a run, wait for people, get breakfast. So you might leave at 6 a.m. and get home at like 1. But A, it's beautiful up there. It's challenging. It's hilly. It's gorgeous. It's fresher air. Typically, you don't really know where you're going. You just kind of run with the group. So things like that where you're, you know, you're just mixing things up. Force yourself out of your routine, because oftentimes the schedule and the routine is what makes training easier, because you find that rhythm.
Yeah.
Tuesday's intervals and Sundays are the long runs. But then sometimes, like, when it gets stale or you're getting run down, extra day off here or there, sometimes you're traveling, it can be tiring, but also
change
your pace.
Yeah.
Last year, I remember I was in San Diego, and I actually ran, I ran with James Blake in New York, but I was able to run the 20 miles with him 2 weeks out. I just happened to be in San Diego, and that's where he lives. So, I mean, it was a terrible out and back on whatever highway it is.
The Pacific Coast Highway.
But, I mean, I'd never done it, so it was new to me, and I was getting to know him better, and another woman from Mirror Project was there. But it was just like a different change of pace, and I was traveling, we connected. So it's definitely, it's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so valuable. The marathon is going to be hard. Hopefully the last 3 miles are hard versus the last 10, But if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be as worth it, I think.
I agree. I totally agree.
So you can be really prepared. It's still going to be hard. It's just maybe the more prepared you are, the less hard it is. But there's still a factor of it. You know, it's my first one. I was running really well. And those last 2 miles like were brutal.
Yeah. I don't think anything can prepare you for how shocking that pain is.
I was even running with someone today. It was like the first time. And I said, this is going to be hard. I'm not just going to sugarcoat it. It's going to be awful at the end. I just want to make it the last 2 miles awful versus the last 10.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, knowing the pace, getting the homework in, doing the runs. But you can't make up for all the missed runs like all at once. So if 10 weeks out, if you miss some key runs, just don't miss any more.
Yeah. Do your best. I mean, I really do think attitude is everything. The best part about me not running a marathon this year is that I get to be there for all my friends who are running their first, who I convinced to run first marathons. I've been out with them on their longer runs on a bike, which is what people have done for me for so long. And being able to be there and tell them, like, I've been out with a lot of people on their worst runs yet, which is so, they sit there and apologize, like, you can leave. And I'm like, no, I know how important this is right now. Whatever I have to do is like scream at you, sing at you, just tell terrible jokes for 10 minutes. Like, your attitude is everything. So whatever we have to do to change your attitude right now.
And when I say like the marathon will get awful at some point, it's often like your worst long run in training is way worse than the marathon itself.
Yeah.
Because you're the magic of the day and there's crowds. And
yeah.
So just know that, you know, I ran the 18 mile tune up and it was brutal. Three laps of Central Park, boring, hilly, hot, not exciting because, like, you know, Central Park's beautiful, but I've been there, done that. And I think that was harder than the marathon.
Yeah. I always tell people, give yourself permission to succeed.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to set a world record. Right. Yeah. You just have to survive.
Yeah. And run smart as you can. Whatever fitness, say, you know, oftentimes people have, you know, these arbitrary goals because it's a pretty number, like 359 is sexier than 403, or my boss ran 412 and I hate her, so I want to beat her. Whatever it is.
I had that in the back of my mind during my first marathon.
So that's not bad. You're not a bad person because you want to, you know, beat certain people. It's, you know, the guy I ran with today wants to beat James Blake's time from James Blake's charity. That's a fun kind of banter. But whatever, you might have to adjust your goal based on how training has gone or the weather that day is always a culprit. If it's really hot or really cold, especially guys, and they just, I'm going to try to break 3 anyway. Instead of saying, you know what, 3:10 is probably the better bet today, and they run 3:08 and 3:12, and it's probably equivalent to sub-3, but those things which aren't in your control, those you have to be, on race week, have to pay attention to. But you can adjust your goal.
We'll do a whole thing on race week. Whoa, baby. The most stressful week of your life.
Yes. How much taper to do, the taper madness. it was a great movie, I think, that came out last year, right?
Yeah, I think it was a super high quality, really big budget.
Yeah, well, there'll be a link, I think.
I'll for sure link to Taper Madness below if you guys are like, what the hell are they talking about? I made John help me with something.
That's the only time I've taken off my wedding ring. Because I had in the trailer, I was your boyfriend. So I can't have a wedding ring.
Oh, that video is so funny. That video is so funny.
Hey, hon, where's the bread?
Any final tips and tricks to get through these final, I almost just said 16 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I would take one day at a time. If you don't do the countdown of, 4 more long runs, kind of dipping down. Or just say, I'm going to crush this long run. Or if I'm really tired, find some support. Find some person on a bike or someone you can run with. Or a new change of scenery, a new course. If you feel awful this week, at the holiday week, you know, you can switch your weeks up, where if you're supposed to do 18 this week, do 10 and then do 18 next week. Sometimes people get so locked into their training programs that they're meant to be flexible.
Yeah.
So the program you might be following doesn't know that your knee hurts, or doesn't know that you're super, super tired, or that you're traveling on a certain day, or your kid has a school thing. So, you know, don't be married to your program, be flexible. But I would say the next 6 to 8 weeks are pretty crucial.
Yeah.
So get those long runs in, even if you have to swap weeks out. Some people will run a half marathon, whether it's the Hamptons half or the Staten Island. So sometimes those are great opportunities to get like a kind of a pre-race kind of practice, if you will, whether that's your gear, your shoes, your types of goos. You can do those where it's an outright race, and that helps you for marathon training as far as maybe predicting what you can do. Or people, a lot of people will tack on miles before or after, so they get their 20 miler or 18 or 22 in, but also get a half marathon. So there's opportunities that can help your training, but just don't freak out about it and don't listen to what everyone else is doing. Just focus on what you have to do.
Yeah, just do your best. Yeah. That's all you can do.
Do you as best you can.
Yeah. Yeah, don't compare.
And don't compare. Any freak out questions, you can hit me up and I will.
Yeah, Honer Camp, where can people find you? Or if they're like, you know what, I do want to hire a coach because I want to become a badass human like Kelly.
You can email me at john@johnhonercamp.com. My Instagram, you can hit me up there. It's just John Honer Camp, which is JohnHonerKamp.
I like that you just went into your announcer voice.
And you're like, where was that the whole show? And no. Then I also have the John Honer Camp consulting and coaching page. You can hit me up at that inbox.
On Facebook. I will link to all of those things below because Honer Camp knows his ish.
And I usually get back to you pretty quickly. So if you're panicking,
unlike me,
I could be your lifeline. Oh, I might not have the answer.
Yeah, careful.
I might not have all the answers.
You're going to get like 5,000 emails.
The other day, I had a friend who had some means of getting into the marathon.
Oh.
And I posted about it.
I saw that.
And it was a thing where it was, you had to pay for
Hunger
the
X-ray, Games.
But I had like 150 responses and I'm like, that makes sense. What was I thinking?
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, you're a dummy.
Somebody emailed me today. He was like, oh, I'm like, you know, you're the 200th person on the list and there's no more spots available. So
getting into the New York City Marathon is
there's
like,
a 10-week program.
Jesus. I love that all of our friends are like, yeah, 10 weeks away. I'll do it.
Yeah. True.
I for a split second was like, meh, I'm on a red eye that night, but like, I could do it.
I could do it.
And then my sister was like, I'll never talk to you again. And I was like, you're right. I'm going to chill.
Yeah, do next year.
And Mike, my PT, was like, I'll stab you in the face if you try to run a marathon right now.
That's no joke.
So no marathon for me, but I'll be out there on the course.
Again, one thing I do miss is being in First Avenue, watching New York City Marathon.
Before. You are running this year, right?
Yeah, I'm just running with Carly Kloss. But spoiler alert. My wife is due on the 8th, November 8th, and the marathon's November 5th.
Oh my God, poor Caitlin.
So hopefully that plays out, that I can still run the marathon and then still have a baby. But
one or the other.
Yeah, you know, priorities. But I missed just, you know, and obviously so many years I worked for New York Roadrunners, so I was, you know, at the start or running the race and doing all these things, 17,000 speeches at the expo.
Oh.
But I do miss just going to First Avenue and watching the pros come by, hopping in a bar, getting a couple beers, coming out, seeing friends and family. It's probably my favorite day in New York City.
I always said that I'd never be able to be here and not run that race, but I am
so excited. No, you should enjoy it. You look
excited.
Like you're going to go to, we should do a whole podcast on like strategy for spectators, because there's the whole, going to plant yourself in First Avenue and you're good.
I'm going to put my sister's signs to shame.
Yeah.
Well, and I live on the course.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to get to like,
do some Brooklyn and then
I'm going to get off a red eye, go to bed for an hour or two. Or three, depending on who's having a shitty day.
Well, thank you for that extra sleep time.
No, I'm just kidding. And I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to cheer, and then I'm going to run, and cheer some more, and run, and cheer some more, and then end at a bar.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day. If you're bummed because you're not in the marathon training journey yet, or you took a year off like Kelly, enjoy being a spectator. It's really fun.
I'm pretty stoked.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good time. Yeah. All right, until next time.
See you later.
Kick ass.
Happy trails
to you. We don't have the rights to this song. We can't use it.
Check.